This is Afternoons with Sonia Feldoff on ABC Radio Adelaide.
Now, you've probably been waiting for the COVID vaccine to come, just like everybody else. It is here now. And a lot of the information that we've brought you over the last few weeks about what might happen, where your turn in the line is, maybe that just felt a little bit like background noise to you until it actually happens. Now that it's here, you're pricking up your ears and going, well, sure, but how do I get it? When am I in line? How will I know? If you're a teacher, during the course of our lockdown, during the course of this whole pandemic, you've been told that you are a frontline worker, you're an essential worker, and schools have remained open. And certainly that's behind a push to get teachers up the queue in relation to vaccines. Glenn Seidel is Secretary of the Independent Education Union of South Australia. Hello, Glenn.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, very well. Now, nationally, this has been quite the push. How successful is it being in arguing that point that teachers should be ahead of others?
Look, there hasn't been much positive response to that at all. We've got phase 1B and phase 2A are nominally for critical and high-risk workers. And we would say that, and it's not just the teachers in schools, it's the staff in schools, should be in the higher phase 1B for a whole range of reasons, not the least of which is that schools resemble petri dishes at the best of times when you've got people at close quarters for extended periods of times, particularly with kids who won't be vaccinated, that school staff should be up in the 1B phase.
And how has that argument gone at the highest levels?
Pretty much a dead bat. The ACT and the unions nationally are trying to come up with a cohesive model for it. But what's happening now is it's actually rolling out in schools and left that national approach behind. There appears to be some confusion as to whether it's a state or a federal responsibility. But I've written to Premier Marshall suggesting that school staff should be elevated in priority, and I'm still waiting for the response.
Glenn Seidel, thank you for your time. Let's go to Dr. Chris Moy, President of the SA branch of the AMA and Vice President of the Australian Medical Association. Dr. Moy, good afternoon.
G'day, Sonia.
This has been a day lots of people have been waiting for, and we've seen obviously the Premier, our Chief Public Health Officer getting their jabs at the moment, all of that trying to instill some confidence in us that this is the way to go. But as we were talking last week even, it seemed that there was no firm way of how we would get to be on this queue. How do we know where we fit?
Okay, look, I think the first thing to keep in mind is that I know there's a lot of excitement because the first vaccines have been given, but I think the thing to keep in mind is that this is not like our normal flu vax where we have 20 million flu vaxes ready to go. So we're only going to get initially small numbers, and those numbers of the vaccine are going to build up over time. And what will happen is that they have to be given initially to the people that most need them, either because of the likelihood of exposure or because they're the most likely to get sick. And what will happen is in a staged process, more people will come be eligible because of the fact that they will come into groups that in this descending order of risk. But also more places will come online to give it. And there will be places, particularly like general practices, will come online as we get more vaccine, because it's no point in the very early stages when you only have a few bottles sending it out to a few practices. So, look, that's the first thing. So hold your horses and just be a bit patient, because it's going to take a while. Now, in terms of finding out, I think there are a few ways of finding out, and some of these are still to be determined. So a lot of it's going to be based on age, which group you're in, but it'll also be determined by whether you have some specific illnesses or whether you're in a particular cohort because you have a particular job, for example, in terms of high risk. So places you can find out at the moment are on the Health Direct website. and also on the COVID-19 vaccine information page on the Department of Health. Now, for a lot of people, I know they're saying, gee, that's not the, you know, that we don't have access to the internet, and that's not the, it's too complicated for me. There are still other ways to be determined as we go along. So it's likely that what will happen is that there will be information campaigns to tell people this is the time that you're due to have it. And also, it will also have to be much more grassroots, particularly for certain communities, particularly for those, for example, who have limited English. Those communities, there will have to be a much more grassroots campaign. And there will probably be some efforts from individual general practices and from the Department of Health to directly contact certain groups at the same time. Mm.
So, Chris, if you're not in one of those groups, though, will you be contacted through your GP, or is it your responsibility to say, I'm in this group, and put your hand up?
It'll probably be a bit of both, because you can actually find out whether you're in that group first, but also there may be, and that still be determined, because something that's got to be kept in mind, there's still a lot of moving pieces in this whole situation, and the timing of when the vaccines are going to be available is actually still a little bit uncertain. So some of that will be a little bit of, you'll be notified, and some of it will be that it will be information that we broadcast, and also that you can find out online, as I said, on the Health Direct website or on the Department of Health website.
Dr. Moy, there are a lot of people who are either vaccine hesitant or waiting to see, and maybe up in these first groups that are going to be vaccinated. If they choose to step back and say, look, I'm not quite ready to do this, but in 3 months, 6 months, have decided that they're okay with it, can they get back in the queue, so to speak?
There's no problem with that at all. You'll be once you're declared eligible, you'll be able to continue to have it in further time periods. So that won't be a preclusion at all. But hopefully people won't, because I think the general information that we're hearing is that they're incredibly safe, the vaccines that we have at the moment.
All right. Dr. Chris Moy is President of the SA branch of the AMA and Vice President of the AMA. But I want to go now to Professor Catherine Hill, who is Director of the Rheumatology Unit at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. Professor, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Sonia. Thanks for having me on.
No, look, thank you for joining us, because we've had some specific questions to our program about those who are immunocompromised in some way or may have autoimmune diseases, things like rheumatoid arthritis and all the various others conditions that are out there. Should they be thinking any differently towards this vaccine than the average person?
No, we don't think they should. We're strongly encouraging our patients who are immunosuppressed, for whether that's because of the medication they're on or because of the disease they have, that they should be vaccinated. The studies overseas with the vaccines suggest that there is no increase in the side effects from this medication. They might no more likely to get a reaction than any other patient. So we think it's safe. Our only issue is where it's not quite clear about whether their response to the vaccine will be quite as good as patients with normal immune system. So that's yet to be absolutely worked out. But I don't think that's any reason for people not to get the vaccination.
When it comes to the two vaccines that are there, Pfizer or AstraZeneca, it seems that we won't get a choice in that matter. Are either of those better or worse for immunocompromised people?
We don't think that there's any going to be any difference, because they're both recombinant vaccines, and there won't be any difference. Patients with obviously immune compromised are probably slightly more at risk of more severe COVID, so perhaps the Pfizer vaccine might be better, but actually the immunocompromised patients are going to be in phase 1B, so we'll probably get offered the Pfizer vaccine. But at this stage, because there's no head-to-head trials of the two vaccinations, it's really hard to know.
These are the first two vaccines. If you are immunocompromised, are there any of the vaccines that might subsequently be approved, or any type of vaccine that these patients should avoid?
It doesn't look like it. At the moment, the ones that are coming through are almost all recombinant ones. That is, that they're not live vaccine.
So I guess that's my point. What's the difference between a live vaccine and a vaccine made in another way?
Yeah, so the recombinant vaccines are the proteins, and they target like very small portions of the virus. But a live vaccination is a very small dose of the actual virus in a live form. So we do have live vaccines on the market, like the shingles vaccine, which we don't generally recommend to people who are immunocompromised. As far as I know, the ones that are being developed for COVID are not live vaccines.
Professor Catherine Hill, so at this stage, no problem with going ahead with getting a vaccine if you're in that group?
Absolutely not. No, we're encouraging it, and we've got information on the Australian Rheumatology Association website, which outlines information for patients, immunocompromised patients, for the vaccination, if listeners want to go refer to that.
Good to talk with you. Professor Catherine Hill is Director of the Rheumatology Unit at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. You're listening to ABC Radio Adelaide.